Welcome to Short Time. It is Short Time with Vin and Dave. Sunday morning, 94.3, the point, the place you want to be. And we're going to pump up our volume.
Yes,
hopefully
we are.
You pump up the volume on your radio, your app, your computer, however you're listening to us this morning, on the road, wherever. It's Vin Avenue. It's Dave Crossan. And the two of us are going to bring you a morning of education, fun. Well, I mean, not each and every week, like we've been doing, Dave, now for, well, show number 56 is upon us.
And I have to say 56, that would be Lawrence Taylor
goat,
that I'm thinking of.
The goat,
and
Lawrence.
And you had
Lawrence
the opportunity
Taylor.
To speak with him
twice.
Recently, twice. Nicely done there.
Well, yeah, last year, at this time, yeah, last February and this February, I was able to get an exclusive one-on-one interview. And for those who haven't seen it, check it out on, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, posted it there, or the 94.3 The Point YouTube channel as well. So the great Lawrence Taylor, and one random number, too, that I thought of as we were getting going this morning, former Yankees reliever Tanyan Sturts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A little bit of a throwback.
I like it.
He was
it.
On the Yankees in 03, 04.
All right. Actually,
he was on the mound in the, what was it, the 13th inning, 11th inning, when Derek Jeter flew into the stands July 1st, 2004.
Okay.
At Yankee Stadium, Tanyan Sturts was on the mound when the pop-up went out towards the sort of like the outfield area,
sure.
Left field or whatever, and Jeter caught him into the stands. Tanyan Sturts was the pitcher on the mound.
Look at you.
Fun facts.
I like that. Okay, no, you're right. I remember that very well.
I was going to say Benny Agbayani, but I think he was 54 for the Mets.
Okay.
In any event.
I like a little shout out for the Mets there. Thank you.
I was trying to do a rough ballpark for you.
I like that. Very nicely
well,
done.
We got the little Cowboys talking last week. Get a little Mets in here now.
Yeah.
Well, we want to talk about. Dave and I were talking about before the show, coming up with a conversation that would tie in a little bit to our guest this morning, which is Alicia Cook, who's been on the show in the past, and we've had the great pleasure of talking to Alicia either on Short Time or in news stories. Really, for the last 6-7 years. So she's great author from Toms River, lives out in Newark, but definitely writes a lot of poems and books for people all over the country. She'll be joining us a little bit later. We pitched a few topics to her to discuss. Always appreciate her openness and discussion of things, especially as it relates to the drug epidemic and mental health crisis as well. So we're going to dive into that. But one of the other things, certainly in... lieu of everything that's just been going on over the last few weeks with the tragic passing of Adriana Kutch at Central Regional High School. And, of course, it's been full coverage up on our app and website. So for all the latest, you can just go to the 94.3thepoint.com, go to the news section, or just click on my bio on the website, Vin Avenue. And I got some articles there that is bringing you the latest with what we know on all that. And we will for weeks to come as we learn more. But I think, Dave, and in part, and I was talking to Maurice Elias, a clinical psychologist at Rutgers during the week. I'm going to post a story tomorrow on that. Because I think in part it's not that it was ever a conversation that completely went away, but I think it's brought to the forefront again the conversation that needs to be had everywhere about bullying.
Absolutely.
And it's not just what can be done, what should be done in schools, but at home, in society, and so much more. You know, I ran a story last week after a conversation I had with State Senator Chris Connors out of the 9th District in Ocean County, just with some of the things that he learned from all this, how Central Regional High School did not report
right.
What happened to Adriana Kutch to the police. It was a parent who had to get involved and call the police and let them know what happened with that brutal assault. But part of his bill, him and Assemblyman Brian Rumpf and Assemblywoman Diane Gove, it would make all schools across the entire state, it would change the policies. It would take the individual school's policy out of the hands. And anytime there would be a physical attack on a student on school grounds, the school would have to report it immediately to
the
police.
Right.
Not do it at all, or, you know, wait a couple days. Like,
it's right then and there.
Yeah.
Right.
Once you find out, once you find out what happened, call the police. Let them investigate, see what happened. And if try and determine between the local PD and the prosecutor's office if the attack rises to a criminal matter. But broadly, and I've had this conversation in the past with various people, psychologists, with Ocean County Prosecutor Bradley Bilheimer, among others, just with bullying, you know, cyberbullying, in-person bullying. Can't just say it's got to stop, because it does. I think that just goes without saying. But there needs to be changes everywhere. You know, it goes back to the golden rule, the common, you know, sayings that we all know, treat each other with kindness right. and respect. What, you know, the bullies come from, you know, I guess all different backgrounds. Who knows what warrants their behavior? Maybe it's an upbringing at home. Maybe it's a societal thing.
Could be a lot of
sociological
factors, right?
thing. Maybe it's because they were bullied at one point too, and it's
right.
kind of turning it around. You know, Alicia Cook has said in the past, you know, hurt people, right? But there needs to be more done. And it's part of the story you'll get tomorrow with Maurice Elias. I asked him, is like, because I was thinking, it's like, oh, okay, you know, you go through school, the elementary school, the middle. I feel like, especially at the middle school and the high school levels, when, a lot of these bullying incidents take place, or a lot of people grow up or don't grow up.
Right.
It's one thing to just, I think it has to be done on multiple fronts, multiple platforms, not just sitting in a classroom and saying, here's what you should and shouldn't do. It's not just some low budget type film
right,
to show
you watch
somebody.
And that's going
to
fix the problem, right?
I think exactly. It takes a lot of things. It takes a lot of people who of influence, people in the community, the school community, our community at the Jersey Shore and beyond, to affect direct change. That any of this stuff is not acceptable. And you know, in today's whatever political climate and societal climate, you see how people treat each other. And then some of that ends up rubbing off young men and women or students, mm-hmm. children, and going through schools. Like, oh, well, I see adults treating each other like this. I'm going to do it the
Great
next
point.
Time somebody bothers me and call them names or call them out. So, I mean, it's on everybody, I think, in society as well. You know, your behavior is being monitored by everybody. It's not just people of power, people in positions of authority. It's, you know, every day you're going to the supermarket or wherever, and a child happens to catch what you're doing, and it goes into their brain
off,
so
right.
that maybe they don't do anything right away. Maybe it's a couple of years down the road, but they remember that, and they're like, oh, okay, well, I see how they resolve or try to, you know, address that situation, and here's what they said or did. Maybe I'm going to try to do that. So behavior influences behavior.
Well, I think it's important, yeah. like what we're talking about, that has to go through, that it needs to be reported to the police right away. This is not something that can linger in the schools right away. That must be reported, number one. The other part of it, too, is with social media. I didn't have this growing up. With social media, it's constant. You know, if there was bullying going on in school, once you left the school and you came home, that would be the end of it. You know, there wouldn't be that, not that there was any, yeah, that's bad, but when it's constant, it's just horrible. You know, you go on social media, there's different things that are going on, different conversations, different things that are posted, and they're part of this. Somebody is constantly being abused mentally with every possible form of contact and different things that are on there. So that, you know, these are steps that need to be taken. And then, of course, on the social media front, that has to be monitored as well.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, you know, just how things have changed over time.
I didn't have any of that. As a kid, zero of the social media didn't exist.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying bullying didn't happen in school. I'm talking
right.
about once you left the building, you didn't have your phones here and the social media aspects of different things or different posts that would, you know, carry on outside of the classroom.
Yeah, even when I was going into high school was the time where social media platforms were kind of starting to take off a little bit. But it's kind of become a platform for a lot of young people or adults to just kind of say and
just
write whatever
right.
you want, hide behind the phone, the tablet, the computer screen, and Well,
right. There's no
if
confrontation
you say something
when you
in,
just put something out there.
Eh,
no, you're
so
right.
What? If they're right. offended, oh well.
Right.
If I say something inflammatory and somebody gets upset, oh well, it's
and
on
you're hiding
them.
Behind your computer, you're hiding behind your phone, and you're just putting dangerous material or thoughts out there.
It's not even just like, would you say that to that
right.
person? It's the fact that you have those thoughts and think that it's okay to still write them out.
Right. That's
maybe
terrible.
If, like, you know what? Take a deep breath the next time
right.
you think
take
about
a moment.
Saying
right.
something that you shouldn't. Online, social media, whatever, or in person, and then just put, you know, fold it up like a piece of paper and throw it in the garbage basket in your mind, and just don't say it.
No, you're right.
Don't do
and
it.
And to your point, with having, you know,
control
the
your
phone
behavior.
Or the computer, and people think, well, they can just put it out there and that's it. They don't realize the impact that it has for the people receiving it that are seeing it.
And it's one thing to, you know, to do the so-called busting of chops. But if you are saying something that somebody is offended by,
oh, absolutely.
Clearly, maybe it's something you should rethink.
Like, correct.
Okay, why are they offended by what I said? Apologize, and then, you know, say, hey, I was wrong. I
own
shouldn't
it.
Have said this.
Correct.
I will do better.
Right.
You know, there needs to be corrective behavior across the board.
Without a doubt.
And when it comes to school bullying, I mean, it's just. All the resources should be made available here, there, and everywhere to just reinforce this message over and over again. I don't know. Maybe it's a whole school assembly or lecture once a month in the whatever the gymnasium, the auditorium, whatever it is. Bridge it out between different grades. But have those conversations. Reinforce that message until... I guess such a time where you're seeing overall positive behavior
right.
and you're not seeing as many incidents of bullying reported. And not all of them have to be, they go on all different scales. Maybe it's just you said something and then somebody was offended by it. That's an act of bullying. Maybe it was something major. Maybe it was something physical.
Right.
Whatever it was, there are different forms of bullying. There needs to be those lessons taught. Like, hey, this was wrong, what you did or what you said.
Right.
You need to correct that behavior.
And people have to understand there needs to be accountability and consequences for your actions, for your thoughts, for different things that you put out there. And for a lot of people, unfortunately, they don't see that. They'll just throw something out there and that's it. They had a thought, out it goes. But you know what? There needs to be consequences. People need to be held accountable. Getting back to the schools and the idea of anything that occurs, bullying, physical, whatever— that's reported to the police, I'm all for it.
And actions, in many cases, are louder than words. They're saying, oh, hey, we have an anti-bullying policy or bullying's not accepted. It's all great as part of a message
right.
to try and reinforce that point. But there needs to be programs done, assemblies, lessons. And that point needs to be reinforced on a daily, weekly basis. You know, and a point that Maurice Elias brought up, and I'll get it out there in an article tomorrow as well, is like, it's not if it is such a bad bullying incident, whether it's verbal, physical, a little bit of both or whatever, that suspending a kid maybe for 5 or 10 days and just punishment alone and then saying, all right, back to the classroom. It's not enough.
Right.
And he kind of argues that in some cases it's, you know, not a good way to kind of correct that behavior. There needs to be something done to correct that behavior to the bully, especially you know, in those first couple incidents, perhaps, where it's like, okay, you know, listen, so-and-so, what you did was wrong. Here's what you need to do and try and correct that, because we don't want to see you getting in trouble again. We also don't want to see you bullying somebody again or saying something that will hurt somebody in any way.
Correct.
Because you don't know what that will lead into. Maybe somebody's able to... brush it off, but maybe it really dives deep into somebody's heart and soul there, and it really impacts them in such a way. So say we could do have those conversations with your kids, with your family and your friends. Be kind, be respectful.
And as parents, obviously anything that you're doing, your children can see, and they could behave in a similar way. So we all have to be
right.
on our game and be careful and watch what we do as adults.
And teach those lessons. Listen, it's not just the simple thing, hey, don't be a bully. It's
right.
Here's how to treat people. And here's how not to treat people.
Correct.
Try and reinforce those lessons at home, at school, in the community, at different events. Try to reinforce those educational messages and just say that bullying is not okay. Bullying has to stop.
Zero tolerance, right? Absolutely.
And that more has to be done to just reinforce this point. Whether it's adding security cameras, whether it's adding more SROs to schools, whatever it is, that it needs to be cemented in everybody's mind that bullying incidents are not okay. Whether it's physical, mental, emotional, that bullying somebody else is not okay, whether it's one-on-one or a group of people bullying somebody else, it is unfathomable, unacceptable, irresponsible, and inappropriate.
Exactly. So. And that the punishment has to match the situation. It can't be something light. It has to be to a point where, okay, if I do this, there are some serious consequences that I'd have to deal with.
So we want to hear from you. Shorttime@townsquaremedia.com. Let us know what your thoughts are on bullying in schools, what could be done to help make things better for all students in all grades, at all levels, in every kind of school, to end bullying and, try and get students to move forward with positive behavior and positive role models to look up to. Toms River native and Newark resident and author Alicia Cook is joining us on the other side of this break. Right here on Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point.
Hello, this is Chef David Burke on Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. And if you could see us, you'd know the three of us have perfect faces for radio.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you are more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hi, this is Southside Johnny from the Asbury Jukes, and you are listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point, and I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to Shore Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you, and we're welcoming back another special guest here to the program, to the show, here on Sunday morning on 94.3 The Point. That is Alicia Cook from Toms River out there in Newark now, and really just all over New Jersey sharing her great work and great personality as well. Lots to dive into this morning, as always, but Alicia, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back.
There we go. So going from the shore all over and putting together great published works as well, and certainly an iced coffee enthusiast as well. I know you've posted that from time to time. What is the funniest pronunciation or funniest name that's been written on one of your cups over the years getting coffee?
My mother's always like, I don't understand why no one could spell or pronounce your name, but here we are. Misspellings are just funny in general, but I think it's funny when I get a completely different name, like Alyssa or Allison or Felicia. there's been a bunch, and I love that people online find it just as amusing as I do.
I think there was an episode of NCIS Los Angeles recently where they were kind of doing something similar, or just like some coffee shop somewhere they were writing the name. Like somebody was calling out the names like, I don't know, like Samantha's? Like, nope, not here. Oh, wait, that's not what that said.
Yeah. It's I think that I'm convinced it's a brilliant marketing ploy that the coffee companies do, because it creates conversation, and you upload a photo of their cup and it's like they're getting free marketing.
That's a good
I'm
point.
Convinced that that's, yeah, I'm convinced that that's why they do that, but good on them because it's working.
Well, one of these days, Alicia, I hope they get the name and in writing and pronunciation down for you.
I mean, it keeps me humble, and that's very important.
There we go. I get entertaining too. So I know we've certainly over the years discussed a lot of your published works and everything, book wise, then all the poems you've put out, And certainly some of the recent ones that you've posted out on Instagram and Twitter as well, including within the last week, about, you know, how life tripping you up and then challenging you to keep back up. Some that you that was from the sorry I haven't texted you back. What was your I guess your thought process, your inspiration for some of the recent poems that you've been posting?
Well, I feel like there's always been a common thread in my writing going all the way back to my first poetry book, Stuff I've Been Feeling Lately. I just don't think I knew I was writing about mental health and grief back then. I didn't know what I was writing about it, but I didn't know I was writing about it. So now I'm just very aware of what I'm writing about. And I think that the inspiration is I just want to be transparent with people, and I want people to feel like they're not alone in those confusing, weird emotions or feelings they have that they might not have, you know, worked out yet for themselves. So that poem in particular, I decided to post it on the internet, even though it's already in one of my books, because I was feeling like that lately. Like I was just falling behind in my mind. And I was like, well, I can't be the only one that feels like this. I put it out. And, you know, as you saw, there was a pretty big reception to it, and in a positive feeling seen kind of way.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, seeing those comments from the readers saying like, this is me, you're in my head, I feel like you're, you know, are you stalking me? Things like that. It's just, I just want to create that community and that feeling of like, you can feel not great and that's okay. Like you don't always have to be your best self, and allow yourself to feel those feelings. And that's really where I've been focusing my writing lately. And a big part of that is because obviously in 2020, when the pandemic began, people were at a loss and very, very depressed and a lot of, you know, anxious feelings. And so I feel like a lot of readers came my way around that time.
And do you find that you know, in getting feedback or anybody commenting on your posts, you know, can have that relation, that relatability, I guess, to some of what you're writing, where like, you know what, I feel that way, but I don't know how to express it, or I can't figure out a way to take the time out for myself.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what I hear people say, like, thank you for putting into words what I couldn't. And then for me, I feel good because I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one that's feeling this. It's a very like symbiotic relationship with my readers, where I really, I need them just as much as they need to read my work. And I just love the community I've been able to cultivate online, because everyone should have a place where they could basically say like, I feel like crap today. Mm. And that's okay. Like tomorrow's a new day.
Have you found that it's helped you a lot over the years by posting poems or just even posting anything, any short comments or whatever on Instagram or Twitter, that getting something off your chest has made you feel better and inspired others to share the same with whatever small or large thing is going on in their life? Maybe it's a loss, maybe it's stress or anxiety from work or home life, but that they have the comfort and the platform to be able to share that. I mean, how has that helped you over the years as well, just with, you know, finding that platform and that comfort to be able to share what's going on and, you know, try and feel better yourself?
Oh, I mean, it's been so cathartic for me. The whole reason I even started writing about drug addiction in particular was because I felt like I was on this like island of grief and confusion, and I didn't, you know, it's just going back to age myself. It's going back many years, you know, maybe even a little bit before social media. So I felt so alone for so many years, even around friends, even around my family. Like I felt very isolated because I could not find a person that was going through something similar, which at the time obviously was having drug addiction in my family, mm-hmm. and ultimately losing my cousin. So the fact that like these platforms exist now, and they could be used for good and they could be used to build community. It's so cathartic for me over the years. And it's also been inspirational to me, where I find inspiration through people sharing their stories with me as well. And like I said, it's just like this great give and take back and forth relationship I have with readers now. And it's so important to talk about every aspect of your life. And we're moving back, I've noticed, almost backwards toward only posting beautifully filtered, curated, a literal highlight reel of our life.
Yeah.
And when people, for a while, we moved away from that. Now I feel like I'm seeing it more again. And it's disheartening, because when you're going through something terrible, or you're in a poor mental state, you believe what you see online, and you believe you're the only one not living their best life, not where they want to be in life. So if I could be a mirror for people, like, that's what I'm here for.
That's a great point. You know, whether it's, you know, putting those filters into photos instead of letting the real ones sit out there, you know, with whatever it is you look like that day. And sometimes, listen, you post a picture of you after a workout at the gym, your hair is a mess, so what? or right. Something else, you know, it's just, it is what it is. It's, you know, I guess life-moving art in a sense as well. You just kind of I think that has gone away to some degree as well, with just the realness of a picture or a video, and people getting too caught up in, you know, what they look like or what they sound like, instead of just posting it as is.
Yep. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be a teenager in school right now. I don't know how I would have been able to navigate living my life through, you know, being a young woman, and then also social media existing. Mm. So I just want to give a shout out to all the girls out there that are, and all the young people in general out there that are just, navigating their lives that are essentially just beginning, but also existing online. And it's a lot, and it definitely has its own problems and leads to some pretty sad outcomes, but there is good out there as well. And if you could find your community, that's wonderful.
What are your thoughts, and anything that you've posted that you could take us back on, and what you've posted over the years or just have heard, just with bullying, cyberbullying? You know, your point there just about, you know, young girls and trying to, you know, live in today's society with some of the social media pressures and everything else, just with any cyberbullying or any bullying that of things that get posted on any social media platform that ends up resurfacing in person at schools or anything. What is your take on everything that's been happening lately, and maybe your advice to young girls or any teenager out there struggling right now because of things that get posted that are not true?
I just wish, I'm going to start by saying, I just wish that young people realize that everything is temporary. You know, school is temporary. Embarrassment is temporary. These clicks are temporary. But I also understand that when you are young and this is your life day in and day out, it doesn't feel temporary. It feels like it's going to be like this forever. But like when I was in school, if I had a run with a bully, I was bullied in school. I was able to come home and have like a safe space. Now, you know, there was a disconnection. Now the bullies follow you. They're in your pocket. They're on your phone. They're on your Apple Watch. They could be relentless 24/7 now. And I could understand how that intrusive voice could get into people's heads, thinking like, my life's a living hell and it's never going to get better. So I do wish that they realized it was temporary. I have been keeping up on the tragedy that happened at Central Regional, the loss of that young life, and how, you know, looking back, it was just that young person was failed by so many people. There was a failure there, and it's heartbreaking. But like I said, all the advice you could give in the world, I would say it's temporary. Life could be so great. High school especially is only 4 years of your life, but it could feel like it's going to be like that forever. And I would hate to give advice, because I don't know how I would be in this day and age if I was that young. But it's scary. It's scary. And it's almost uncontrollable. You know, that even parents, a lot of parents don't even know what's going on until something terrible happens.
Yeah, and it's sad, tragic, not just with what just happened to Adriana Koosh at Central Regional High School, but people standing by and laughing or even posting this stuff or for those who are bullying, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, you know, whatever it is and whatever the outcome is. I mean, it's damaging in multiple fronts to a lot of different people. So you just kind of hope and pray that people who had been bullying just stop, you know, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, bullies could grow out of being bullies and they could become reflective maybe and feel bad for what they did. But a lot of bullies grow up to be terrible adults as well. So I do believe that hurt people hurt people. So there's always a reason. But we need to protect the kids. You know, that we need to protect the kids. And I don't think we're doing a good job at that. And I say we as, like, you know, the collective older people, I don't think we're doing a great job at protecting the kids.
Yeah. No, I think more should be done across the scale to instill just at the elementary, middle school, high school levels, you know, to help teach the youth that, you know, and any form of bullying, physical, mental, emotional, posting stuff, saying stuff, you know, whatever it is not okay. And to try and instill those lessons in them while they're young to hopefully prevent those kinds of behaviors from happening when these young men and women become adults, whether it's going out and committing crimes or bullying people as an adult. So hopefully things could get done across the board to help stop bullying in schools.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing a school leadership could do is stop with the narrative of, like, this happened on the internet, not in school. And they have this boundary and it's like, were we not online? Were these kids not online learning for 2 years? Mm-hmm. You can't just say, no, it's on the internet, so it's not my problem. Everything is interconnected now. It is your problem. These are your students.
Yeah, no, totally agree. You know, just because it doesn't physically happen within the confines of a classroom or a hallway doesn't mean it's still not students bullying other students in any shape or form.
Absolutely. So I think they have to take a long, hard look in the mirror, the school administration, and realize that their responsibility extends past the classroom now.
And sometimes you find that some of the people who, you know, without stats in front of me, just kind of hypothetically, are that bullying could lead to other things. Maybe it's forcing them into a depression. Maybe it's forcing them to abuse alcohol or drugs or to do something else that they may not have otherwise considered with, you know, if they didn't feel like their life meant something because of the amount of people picking on them.
Oh, that's, I believe that. I agree with that. Absolutely. We have to analyze, you know, a big part of the drug epidemic is analyzing why people turn to substances in the first place. And that's definitely one of them, that desperation, that feeling of emotional abuse, physical abuse. They'll turn to things to maybe numb their reality.
Alicia, I want to talk more about your recent works and more about some topics that I think could be relatable to a lot of people as well. Can you stay around?
Sure, I have time.
There we go. Lots of time here on Sunday morning. We've got more Short Time with Vin and Dave and Alicia Cook right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management understands that you are more than your money, and they strive to help you realize your best life as they align your finances with your goals. Best of all, Shoreline's straightforward approach will include you in the process. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you. With us here this hour is Alicia Cook, Tom's River native, doing great things across the state of New Jersey out there in Newark and beyond. From trying to find a coffee shop that puts her name just right on the cup, to certainly inspiring others and sharing lots of great stories we've been talking about. Some of her recent published works and certainly the effects of cyberbullying and school bullying and so much more, and a lot of conversations that still need to be had. To just instill the message to children and adults that bullying others is in no way, shape, or form okay, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental, you know, and what kind of realities can certainly come as a result of somebody being bullied. Every life matters, and, you know, we certainly all have a role to play here in treating others with kindness and respect, and that goes a long way. We also talked, Alicia, as we went towards the quick break there, just on so how some of that could lead to drug abuse or alcohol or something else along those lines, and in talking about the drug epidemic and everything as well. And I know it's something that you've touched on over the years as well, and sharing your story and sharing the story of your relationship with Jessica, your cousin, and you know her story as well, you know, as it relates to the drug epidemic and how so many others out there are struggling even now. In looking back at this, your books, and your poems over the years, from Stuff I've Been Feeling Lately to I Hope My Voice Doesn't Skip and Sorry I Haven't Texted You Back and so many others, and in sharing your story and sharing Jessica's story and so much more, in looking back at the years, in the years that you've put out these published works and everything and sharing these stories, what is it? Been like for you, this journey and sharing these stories? Have you learned anything new about yourself over the years, or gotten feedback about people who are going through the same sort of reality that you did and that you are?
The last, you know, almost 10 years has been an absolute gift. I'm so grateful and fortunate to have had these books and to have had people buy my books.
of course.
And yeah, like it's you know, writing a book's one thing, getting published is another, actually having a book do well is a completely other thing.
Right.
so I just feel like I feel so fortunate, and I'm so grateful for the platform I've been able to build and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot over the last couple of years, especially about myself. I've learned, you know, our last conversation a couple months ago, I learned that I shouldn't be drinking alcohol. I'm not a great person when I drink alcohol. So it'll be 4 years in June where I haven't drank alcohol. And I don't think I would have maybe made it or been that self-reflective. And if not for my books, because my books, you know, forced me to basically write exactly what I'm feeling. And it's almost like I release a diary every couple years. So I'm very like self-reflective, usually when a book comes out. And so, yeah, I've made a lot of lifestyle and wellness changes in my life. And I think it's all connected to my work and to the response to my work, because it's a duty to, you know, I have a big responsibility with a platform like mine, because a lot of the people that follow me have had very difficult lives, or they've had very tough seasons. And I just want to be a good role model and example. So I want to thank my, you know, my readers and everything like that for, I think, turning me into the best person I could be.
Absolutely. And I think you've done a great job in taking the time to gather your thoughts and to be able to share them and tell so many stories that make people want to just kind of sit there, slowly read and reflect.
Thank you.
With you sharing your heartfelt stories and just the realities of what you fell with. And then I think there are just people out there that may be going through the same thing, and that in reading your work has helped them kind of see things in their own life and figure out what's going on and try to help them cope, certainly with any struggles or anxieties or any loss as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say it's such a big responsibility, because I try to be very careful and not careless with
sure.
with their stories, because it is, sometimes it is life and death, you know, and there's, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. but I do feel like people like me and myself writing what we write about, it does give people almost, they feel like they have permission now to share openly, and it does start conversations. And the fact that like my book could be a conversation starter between a family that really needs to talk about things is so wonderful.
Oh, I want to touch on a poem you recently put out, Survivor Guilt, last in January, that I, you know, was reading and I thought could relate to this, certainly part of the conversation we're in here, but I'll let you steer the wheel on that, certainly since you wrote it, it's your thoughts and everything. But what went into the poem Survivor Guilt that you posted?
So I've talked about survivor guilt in different ways throughout the years, but this poem I posted in, I guess you said it was January, that this poem is actually going into my new book that I'm currently writing.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to test the waters. So I posted it and I wanted to see the response to it, since a lot of my new book is focused on grief, not always grief caused by the death of someone, but like you could grieve, the last couple of years showed us you could grieve, you know, moments you never got, or, you know, time you lost. So what went into that was so many people feel that survivor's guilt is an actual term people use to talk about, like, if you survive a devastating situation, you walk around with a different kind of guilt because you're like, why am I still here? And I just wanted to put that down on paper, maybe a little more explicitly than I usually do. And yeah, my next book is heavily focused on loss and grief, and yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Any idea when the new book or publishing would be coming out? Any hints?
I could give you a month and a year.
All right.
my next book, my poetry book, will be coming out January 2024. So
there we
11
go.
Months from now. Yeah.
Start planning, people.
please do. It'll be 4 years between books. I hope I'm still relevant then.
Ah, you haven't lost the touch. No rust, Alicia.
No.
Have you gotten a lot of people reaching out to you, either through your recent works or over the years with anything that people have read, or the, as mentioned before, since the 7 years since you put out stuff, I've been feeling lately with people going through that and reaching out to you, either asking for your advice or kind of thank you for sharing what you have over the years that people can relate, or maybe just kind of sharing their testimonials with you. And I know in some of your works over the years, you've kind of helped reshare their stories as well. But what have you heard from talking to different people around New Jersey or elsewhere about their struggles with the drug epidemic or watching a loved one battle through the disease of addiction?
No, I definitely still receive DMs, private messages, emails from people all over the country daily.
Mm.
And, you know, if we're speaking specifically about the drug epidemic, the messages I'm getting today are no different than the messages I was getting in 2014, which isn't good, because it shows that there hasn't been much of an improvement, and you know, people are still dying every single day, and families are being wrecked every single day because of this, the disease of addiction. Something that I want to speak more about, and I'm on a couple of panels coming up in the spring, is I want to talk about how it's amazing to me the stigma that still exists. You know, moving away from the state or the country's statistics,
right,
you know, things we can't control as everyday citizens all the time. But like the fact that I still see that, you know, there's the attack on the person using the drugs, that we're demeaning the person still and not looking at the larger issue. Like, there's no right way to curb this epidemic, but that's definitely the wrong way, you know? So I want to speak more about how education needs a complete overhaul. You know, telling kids drugs are bad of course they know that.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, like in our heads, logically, we know drugs are quote unquote bad.
Right.
But that quickly morphs into the idea that people who use drugs are bad. And that's not always the case. It certainly wasn't the case for the people in my life who mm-hmm. I know who've been addicted to drugs. So the disease of addiction causes them to make harmful choices out of desperation, sure. But just say no was definitely the wrong way because it villainized the person and not the source. And if it were that easy to just say no to drugs, we wouldn't be here today. You know, we wouldn't be looking at such an epidemic to this day. And that's what I hope to use my platform for. I've been doing my research and writing new stuff on addiction. And I want to talk about how, you know, the stigma still exists because we still want to villainize the people using these drugs.
I think it does, you know, so my thoughts, some of them, I think it does get talked about, you know, certain circles, society, you know, schools and government and stuff like that. But I don't think it overall broadly gets talked about enough, whether it's the drug epidemic or the mental health crisis. Like, it does get talked about, but is there really enough action getting done to help educate, become aware, help provide recovery? I feel like sometimes it just, these two particular epidemics, if you will, with mental health and with drugs, don't get talked about enough, and there's not enough action done to help find people health because it's an ongoing thing. And I feel like there are some days or some weeks where just other things, and I'm not talking, you know, trying to compare or contrast to other real life events here, mm-hmm. but I feel like it just doesn't get the amount of quality, quantity conversation it deserves to help people be at a point where they feel comfortable opening up and, you know, learn more about why, you know, just, you know, to your point about just say no or drugs are bad, to go more into the weeds about what it is all about, why you shouldn't go do drugs, what it could lead to, you know, the importance of mental health, which I still think there is this, well, a stigma to, but also a blanket over where like, oh, hey, mental health, that means you're going to sit in an office on a couch somewhere and talk to a psychiatrist. But it's kind of like the comparing, like you go and work out physically to improve your overall physical health, whether it's lifting or running around. And I think we've had this conversation on previous shows in the past as well, mm-hmm. but it's just like, what are you doing to improve your mental health? Maybe that's the small daily stuff that's kind of gnawing at you or some larger stuff as well. And I think there needs to be more of a bigger spotlight, I guess, if you will, for lack of a better analogy, on the drug epidemic and on the mental health crisis for people of all ages, to be able to have this conversation, you know, throughout the course of the year, whether it's in schools, at workplaces, you know, wherever, mm-hmm. to just, you know, lower the stress, lower the anxiety, and try to put people in a better position health-wise, mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Oh, that's so well said. And I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I've been saying since I was, over 10 years now, I've been saying that we need to be talking about this more. What's unique about particularly the mental health crisis is that I would love to meet someone, introduce me to someone who has never had even a bad mental health day.
Mm.
Right? Like, this is something so universal. How are we not talking about it more? And like, I feel like in my world, we talk about it all the time. But like you said, at the broader universe, no, we aren't. And drug addiction and mental health crises have been around since the beginning of man. So we're not going to cure drug addiction. We are not going to cure the mental health crisis. So harm reduction is the best tool, in my opinion, that we have to, you know, at least curb these crises, whether it be Narcan for drug addiction or something like you suggested for mental health. And all these epidemics, they hold hands. So we can't stop. We have to stop looking at them individually. The mental health epidemic, the drug epidemic, they overlap and exist together. And the pandemic, another ick, only poured fuel on the mental health crisis that was already on fire, which resulted in the highest annual drug death toll our country has seen yet. So I know I wasn't surprised at all that all this came together and we had all, you know, these coexisting crises. But yeah, a lot of people were surprised that this was happening, and the writing has always been on the wall.
And hopefully that, you know, in talking about bullying as well earlier in our conversation here this morning, that, you know, that's part of it as well. That more can be done. It should be done. And that these conversations, even though they may be hard at times to have, that they should be have. And I don't know, maybe it's at the school level. Maybe it's taking out time every once in a while to have students write down in a journal kind of what they're feeling that day. Maybe it's like a 20 minutes or a half hour of a school day just to kind of sit down, write how you're feeling. Maybe it's a good day. Maybe it's a day where you're kind of feeling, maybe you're a little depressed, anxious, angry. Maybe there's some things on your mind that you need to get off, because in my opinion, I guess when those things start adding up, it almost becomes like a distraction from, you know, different things that are going on in the classroom or at the workplace for adults and everything, that you're too busy thinking about everything else going on in your life or with people involved in your life, your loved ones or friends, that that you're kind of distracted from doing other things in your life, and it kind of slows you down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's so right. And not only slows you down or distracts you, but it takes away from the joy. So you could, I've had some of the biggest moments of my life, especially when my first book came out, those first milestones and accomplishments, I didn't even enjoy them because I was so depressed and anxious. You know, and if I could go back in time, of course, like, it was lightning in a bottle. I'll never experience that again. So to your point, like, journaling has been proven to help in different ways. And you just stack up, you know, it just stacks up if you don't have a release. And we need coping mechanisms in place. So we need releases. And we need to be in a world where people don't stigmatize the fact that we need coping mechanisms.
Exactly. And there's no, like, I don't think there's a defined role where it's like, okay, well, this person is only designated to deal with this. I think, you know, and everybody in some way has a responsibility to help out somebody else, family member, friend, coworker, stranger. You know, you see somebody having, you know, a tough day. Maybe it's just something simple as saying hello, waving, smiling, holding the door, saying a kind word here and there. Simple things that we
could literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could literally make all the difference in someone's day. And I think something I've tried to be more patient, because, you know, I live in Newark. It's fast paced. You know, I'm always in a rush sometimes, it feels like. So my patience runs out sometimes, but I always try to meet people where they're at. Like, I don't know what kind of day the barista is having.
Right.
Like, she could have had the worst news of her life that day and still had to show up from, you know, to work. So we just have to, just be kind. And it's such a cliche thing to say, but being kind is the best thing you could be in this world, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll close up with this, just something I was thinking about. So I guess a few weeks ago, I had an opportunity to interview Lawrence Taylor, the New York Giants legend, who certainly had his share of off the field mistakes and everything over the years. And I think when I had a chance to sit down with him just for a couple minutes, I think he was a little nervous. I think there's just been a lot of other people out there in the media, other reporters over the years who have kind of not been too friendly for him and kind of focused on things that he doesn't really want to be remembered for. He wants to be remembered for being a great football player and everything else. And I think the more I kept talking to him and, you know, treating him with the kindness and respect that he deserves as a human being and as a great football player, I was just there to talk football with him. And the longer we went in that conversation, the more comfortable he got, realizing that I wasn't out there to go and get him. And kind of made me think, you know, sometimes that kindness and the respect that you show to others and having a conversation can go a long way, especially if they feel like they've been mistreated by so many other people.
Yeah, you created a safe space for him. And, you know, we've all made mistakes, and I don't know his history. But, you know, as long as we admit that we're flawed, we take accountability for the mistakes we make, and we try to be better going forward. That's just all a part of our story. But yeah, you created a safe space, and that's what we could do every day for someone.
Alicia, you do that, you know, in so many different ways, in social media, through your books and poems, and everything, and just being there for so many different people, going through a lot. Everybody out there can go to thealishacook.com to learn more about Alicia's published works and upcoming published works. So stay tuned till next year. And of course, follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Alicia, thanks for taking out some time this morning to discuss so much here on Short Time.
No, I always love our conversations. Thank you.
We'll have to have you back again soon, and certainly well before, you know, your book comes out next January.
Right.
That is Alicia Cook. More Short Time with Vin and Dave right after this on 94.3 The Point.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is comedian Big D Bettero. You're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee?
Whether you are in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management provides clarity through the complexity. Shoreline's system is straightforward. They will understand your financial circumstances, identify goals, analyze current plans, and customize a path to position you to reach your goals. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information today. shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA. SIPC.
Hi, this is high performance executive coach Dana Cavalia and former director of strength and conditioning for the New York Yankees, and you're listening to Short Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. It's always great to hang with champions, and these two guys are champions.
Welcome back to Short Time with Vin and Dave. Vin Avenue, Dave Crossan with you as we put a bow on another show, Dave. Show
a
number 56
show.
In
it.
The books.
56.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, number 56, the GOAT, the great Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor with the Giants, absolutely.
And on a, I guess, a different kind of scale, a much more random scale, former Yankees and Rays reliever Tanyan Sturts.
It's so
That's
funny. Every
got.
Time I see a number, I always associate that number with a player.
We got to think for next week, too. Next week is show number 57.
I don't have any.
It's a hard one.
Not well,
a lot
have time
of,
to think about
I can't think
it,
of a lot of players in any sport that have wore 57.
Huh.
Going to have to dive into that one.
Oh, well, we're going to come up. We have time to come up with one. So, yes.
Email us, shorttime@townsquaremedia.com. Let us know any big or famous athletes in any sport that wore 57. In the meantime, we'll wrap up show number 56 here. Tom Zivner native and author Alicia Cook joined us this morning on Short Time with Vin and Dave. She lives out in Newark now, but an author, has written a few books, working on another one, written a lot of poems. You could follow her at the Alicia Cook on Instagram and Twitter. Check out her website as well for all the latest updates of poems and books that she has posted out or will be posting as well. But important conversation, and it's, you know, she's been on our show before, Dave, and I've talked to her for years and news articles, and certainly on this show as well. And she's brought up a lot of great points, a lot of personal stories as well from her own life, as well as stories that she's heard along the way from other people as it relates to the drug epidemic and the mental health crisis, and just a lot to soak in and a lot to think about. Maybe it's, you know, how we treat each other.
It starts with you and I.
In schools,
and how
in
we
society.
Interact with people and how we treat people. We can't just point the finger and say, well, you got to do this, you have to do that. We have to.
Yep.
You and I. Vin, it starts with you and I. No, I'm not kidding here.
Well,
we all have
the
to take a good look at what we're doing as well.
Absolutely. You know, we talk certainly at the beginning of the show just about bullying in schools. More should be done. And it's not to say that nothing is being done, but I think just across the board at every school and every district across the state and for that matter, the country, that things need to be looked at. What can be done? What conversations can be had to put the conversations in the classroom, in the auditorium, whatever it is, to just have that continuing, ongoing discussion that not only is bullying not okay, it is unacceptable, and that we need to find ways to correct that behavior if you find a student or somebody else is bullying another student. And that's not just with their words,
that's
it's
a
with
great point.
Their
you
actions
could
and
bullying.
Their,
that's a great
their physical
point,
violence as well.
You need to report that. Yeah. If you see it, maybe you aren't the person getting bullied. Hello.
Yeah.
But you're the person that you're seeing that person, somebody else dealing with that.
Yeah.
Then you know what? Somebody needs to step up and report that person.
And have, you know, on the other front too, if you are a victim of bullying mm-hmm. victim, or you know somebody who is, or you're going to school with somebody is, however this message gets out there, you know, it's having those close circle of friends, having somebody who sees it going on, go up to that person, say, hey, I'm here for you if you want to talk.
Right.
I'm here to see help
Great
you
point.
Get okay. Maybe it's pointing them in the direction of a social worker, a guidance counselor, a teacher that you trust. finding, you know, just making, following up, making sure that they're okay. You know, whether it's just saying something every once in a while, having a conversation in the cafeteria, whatever it is. If you witnessed it or whether you heard about it, maybe it's just going up to that person saying hello, treating them kindly. Because you never know how they're processing things or what they're going through or how they're going through it. But certainly to be there and help be there for victims of bullying. You know, if somebody said something hurtful to you or hurt you in any other way, that you know that there are people around you who care for you, whether they're family or friends or just somebody else in the school that sees something going on and, you know, reaches out. And, you know, find that person that you trust that you can confide in and have a chat. You know, find those people that in your circle or wherever to be able to discuss what happened to you and how you feel about it. And
well said.
Maybe a slow road to recovery or trying to cope with it, but, you know, just find those people that you can trust.
Just keep an eye out. Do the right thing. Starts with everybody individually, but to your point, Vin, if somebody, you see something, report it.
Absolutely. So take care, be kind, be respectful to everybody, and remember, like we said at the top, too, how we behave in society, at work, at school, in the supermarket, at a store somewhere, at the gas station, wherever. You know, how you talk to people and how you treat people is an influence on others in society, whether it's children or adults. So be kind, be respectful, treat each other right. And that's not just in person, that's on social media and emails and everything else as well. Have a great Sunday and a great week ahead, everybody. Dave, you as well. Enjoy
Absolutely.
A Sunday on the
Enjoy,
couch.
Enjoy, everybody. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
We have another great show on deck for next Sunday. Stay tuned throughout the course of the week. We'll let you know. And then, of course, next Sunday as well. Shore Sports Talk Sundays, 6 to 7 a.m. And then Shore Time with Vin and Dave every Sunday, 7 to 8 a.m. So keep your radio tuned on to 94.3 The Point every Sunday from 6 to 8 a.m. straight through. The only place you want to be here on Sunday mornings is 94.3 The Point from 6 to 8 a.m. Have a great week, everybody. Talk soon.
Hi, this is Christy Pierce-Rampone, former U.S. women's soccer team captain, Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and Point Borough High School alum. And you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Tune in for some real conversation with Dave and Vin. You don't want to miss this.
Hey, this is UFC championship fighter and Toms River High School East alumni Frankie Edgar, and you're listening to Shore Time with Vin and Dave on 94.3 The Point. Dave and Vin, these guys are the buzz.
Whether you're in the early stages of investing, getting ready to retire, or planning your estate, you need a financial planner who will guide you on a clear path with honesty and transparency. Shoreline Wealth Management provides clarity through the complexity with offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Shoreline Wealth Management is your financial anchor. Visit shorelinewealth.com for more information and start your financial journey with comfort and security today. Shorelinewealth.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.